Blog Talk Radio.
Your timing was impeccable.
Thank you. That's right.
And you literally called in as the Blog Talk Radio thing was going over. We haven't been on here in a while, and I'm not even doing the music or nothing. A lot of people's schedules were not lining up correctly, and when you can't do the show at the same time every week, it's really hard to keep afloat. So I haven't been on here, but I knew we're going to pick back up when the election started, and they kind of redid everything on this website, and I noticed the call-in number is a 213 area code, which is in Los Angeles. It used to be New York, and the switchboard's fantastic. I was just admiring the website before you came on. So, all right, so here's what we're going to do. I had this idea because I get calls on this daily about this, and I'm engaged in conversation with people. I've lived through, what, 5 presidential elections? And I actually have a conscious memory of 4 of them. And I don't remember just the interest and the intrigue in this whole thing. It's astounding. And when you have a candidate who is literally completely outside of the political landscape and has made it this far, as I didn't think he'd be here 6 months ago. I told the day I changed my mind.
No,
I
did.
Well, I was one of the first ones to say that he was going to get the nomination. And, well, between us, I don't know what people are saying around the country. But, no, I thought it was amazing. So I want to give a little background here on what it is that we're going to debate and where it is we're coming from. I am not one of the people who, as Trump said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and 25% of my base would still be supporting me. I'm not one of those people. There are 3 things that he's done. One of them today that I find completely disgusting. And I did not vote for him 2 weeks ago. I'm from Ohio, so I voted here. I did not vote for him. He was probably my 7th or 8th choice. So I'm not a hardcore Trump supporter, but I'm going to defend his candidacy to you. And if I had to vote right now, assuming that John Kasich is out of the race, which he is, I would support him over Ted Cruz. And this isn't about Ted Cruz. I know that you don't like him. I don't know why, and I didn't want to find out until we get on here. So let's just give everybody an insight of the debate that's happening within the party. And Brian offered to come on and moderate, and I said, I don't want a moderator because I don't want any down-the-middle analysis. I want this, bar or dinner table discussion type of thing. And
I think I know what he would say anyway.
What? Go ahead. Just give me a quick synopsis. What would you think he would say? I want to see how accurate you are. He would actually like to hear this.
I think he would say that Trump is representative of a larger part of the Republican Party than people think or realize, and that's why his win. That's why he's racking up wins in states and whatnot. And
what he has said to me is that he is appealing to anger. And
yes,
this is, I mean, I wish we had more time to get into this. I just want to get to our argument portion, but of why this has happened. And I think that this is a creation of conservative media. The fact that you have turned your base against every national political figure that has come up, whether it be a presidential candidate or somebody who was talked about as a presidential candidate, they like him for a couple months, and then somebody turns on him. Not saying all of them, but somebody will turn on him. They did it with Marco Rubio.
Well, and I don't disagree with you at all there, Matt. I know you and I have talked briefly about that before, but I think part of the reason is that it seems like the big names of the conservative media are always looking for the perfect candidate. And it seems like if there's one thing wrong with their history or something that they've done in the past or, God forbid, something that they said 20 years ago, then suddenly they're labeled as a progressive. And that's a really inflammatory term, at least the way I understand it. I think a lot of Republicans understand it.
I actually think that's partially right, but I also think that you get better ratings when when you're not just sitting there propping somebody up.
Yeah,
so
I would hate to think that. I don't have any evidence of that,
I could give you an example. I can give you an example. Glenn Beck, who has called Donald Trump a progressive, just like he calls everybody else progressive, and was part of the anti-Trump National Review edition. Go back to the Riley Factor, I think 2 years ago, and he said, Donald Trump, that's the guy that gets things done. If you want a guy that gets things done, you need somebody like Donald Trump. Completely changed his position. And it's a business. Politics in general is a business, and this is part of what I'm going to get into. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means, but I hear a lot of those guys, like the Jesse Ventura type, say, like pro wrestling, which I always kind of knew it was. The Democrats and Republicans, they pretend to argue, but they're really, as long as it's in that little, that elite group of people, it's fine, because they're all looking after each other's job, and I kind of believe it, not to that extent. How I'm seeing the media and the reaction to him, I'm starting to believe that a little bit more. I really, what really opened my eyes was the Romney speech. Someone who asked for his endorsement and was up on stage gleaming with him in 2012. And for many of the business practices that he did, that I defended, which were shady, Romney, but I think all business is shady to be successful at it. To go and give that kind of speech, you were just trying to block this guy from the nomination. But let's get into, we got 32 minutes or so. All right. What's your feelings on this right now? The possibility of Trump being the candidate, what will you do if he is the candidate? How do you feel about it? Just lay it out there for me, and I'll see what I can argue with.
Yeah. No, when you brought this up to me earlier in the week, I think there's a couple things, some of them we've already touched on a little bit. There's a couple things that really predicate this whole conversation for me. And because of the work that I do, I get people asking me about this all the time. How in the world is this guy popular? How in the world is he staying popular?
Real quick, I forgot to mention something. I'm glad you brought up the work you do. Just so people know, we are both very much involved in the party. You worked for the Heritage Foundation. I don't know what the company is that you work for now. You worked did that internship with the McCain campaign. I worked for the McCain campaign for the Trakas campaign. We're very much involved. So this isn't just something that's new to us. And we're not like the people that you see on TV who's the pundits. We're not pundits. We're actually regular people, the voters that are actually involved in the party. And that's why I wanted to do this show. And all right. So
yeah, and I hope we bring a unique perspective to all this. But you mentioned the whole anger thing, and it's true. The Republican Party has, at many times down the road, said one thing during election season and done something else. Now, that I think that has angered a lot of people, and I think people in general, not just Republicans, but people in general are looking for that fresh face, someone who either has done or is perceived to have done things to be successful in the past. And they just want anybody to come in there and fix it in the White House.
Where I'm going to break away from that is I don't think it's just anybody. And I think people are underselling what's making him popular. What's attracting. I had this. I wish I could meet him and talk to him. I'm like, because every time I want to get on board with you, this is why I was talking to Trump. You say something that just pisses me off,
right?
And it takes me a month to get over it, and until you get me on board again, and then you pull it back. When he announced it, his campaign, I was like, hell yeah! And then he makes the McCain comments. Then I'm starting to get used to his, him getting numbers in polls and getting used to him. Then he makes the Bush-Iraq comments. Then he walks that back, and I listened to his spokesperson, Katrina Parsons, who was absolutely amazing, talk about George Bush's leadership. Okay, now I'm back on track. Then you do the Cruz thing today with his wife that they were supposed to do the show. So it's just like, if you could just control yourself.
I don't think he can control himself. I don't think he's mature enough to handle running for president, let alone being president. And,
well,
you know, getting back to my original comments, though, I think we're seeing with him a shade of what we saw with Obama in 2008. He's the Republican's Obama. People just want somebody other than the names that we've heard 100 million times. He's perceived to have success in business, although I would even doubt that based on
just a quick thing about his business background. I don't know how much the loan was, but I looked into this. He got some loan from his father. He lost all of it. He actually went $9.8 billion in debt. He wrote in his, I think, the art of the deal that I walked by a homeless guy, and I looked at him and said, "Wow, this guy is $9.8 billion richer than I am," and he built that back into a four billion dollar surplus. Now the whole argument that a lot of people, if I went in the hole $9.8 billion, I might as well just kill myself because I'm never getting out of it. But some people have the ability to do that. But he still learned how to be a successful businessman by doing so.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure
the fact
sure
that, that he's the best selling author. He's the best selling author. He's getting, I think the offer was, this is off the record, was $12 million from NBC per episode to continue to do The Apprentice. The fact that he's come this far in the presidential campaign, I see them make America great again merchandise everywhere. That is the business aspect that shows how good he is in marketing and marketing himself. So I don't. Yes, did he have business failures and file for bankruptcy? Absolutely. I was just in Vegas in February and I had the big Trump building down there, and it's just his name is everywhere, and I'm just defending. That's aside from the political aspect. I'm just.
Yeah,
he's a businessman is false.
The only thing I'll say to that is marketing is one thing. He is a great marketer, and I think that's why he's had a lot of success right now, is because he's marketing himself exactly the way that especially Republican voters, but a lot of others want to see. You know, somebody who's outside of politics, who has a lot of success, and who is really refreshing when he comes on stage. He's totally politically incorrect. He's willing to say anything. He speaks his mind. When he talks, whether you like what he says or he doesn't, you at least know that he's speaking his mind. And I think that's what's attracting a lot of people right now.
Okay,
let's not fool ourselves, though. The marketing is completely different than actually being president. It's clear that on policy,
of course,
he has no idea what he's talking about.
But I don't think there's a difference between not having any idea what you're talking about and not having the capability of articulating yourself like a politician. That's the difference. I know people who are very politically sound who when they speak, speak in like those we call them talking points or whatever. They're not used to having those canned answers that politicians have. I don't care about what he says in terms of vague policy. I have read some of his policies, healthcare, which is great. Anyone who's going to propose to give me a national right to carry, which I am on board with 100%. His tax plan, simplifying the tax code to four different brackets. Who else? Go find me another candidate who is making these. Who is suggesting these kind of policies? They say the same thing. Can he get this done? I don't know. If he has a Republican Congress, it's a possibility. But we know how politics works. But here's what attracts me: two things. One, I watched the whole thing in Chicago, the protest. Anybody who is attracting that kind of protest from those people is doing something right, because he's putting legitimate fear into those people who need to be have fear put into them. Secondly, he is whether he means it or not, I don't think he has an ideology. I think he leans towards the stuff. I actually think the stuff he talks about a lot he actually does believe, but I don't think he has like a hardcore ideology because his positions are a little bit all over the place. Because he doesn't think, okay, I am a Republican, I'm a conservative, or I'm liberal, whatever, this is what I think. He doesn't really do that. But he is getting people excited and fighting for illegal immigration, or against illegal immigration. He's fighting for simplifying the tax code. And people, these conservative things that we wanted someone to fight for, whether he means it or not, he is bringing that back. I said that Romney lost because they did that war on women, and he never fought back. I talked to so many women Republican voters who thought he was actually waging a war on women. Trump's not going to do that. He's actually fighting back. And I said after the election in 2012, I told you and somebody else, I said, you know what? If we would have nominated Gingrich, he may have lost a lot worse than Romney did, but at least he would have went down swinging. And that's what Trump's doing. And he's fighting for these values that we wanted somebody to fight for. He stands there, he has to wear a bulletproof vest at every rally he does. He's getting attacked mercilessly by members of both the parties. ISIS just did a propaganda video of him on fire. He's putting fear into all these people that we want to put fear into.
Here's the thing, though, Matt. I mean, he's not just putting fear into people on the left, though. He's putting fear into people like me, who are strong conservatives, who look at what this guy is saying. And
okay,
I'm thinking, if this guy starts leading this country, then I'm not going to recognize this country anymore.
Let's talk about that. You are not an establishment politician, so that we can. That's a lot of the fear, right there. You're just a voter. That's what we're talking about. You, as a conservative voter, what are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about this guy representing. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, I was gonna. 3 second delay is terrible.
Oh,
I was gonna say other than his inability to control his language at some points. That is a concern for everybody, but I'm willing to look past that. But go ahead. What are your?
Well, it's not just controlling his language, but it's controlling the way that he treats people. It's controlling the policies that he puts forward. Just the other day, people asked him, you know, okay, his whole policy of just, we'll take him one by one. The whole thing of him just deporting everyone, totally impossible.
He did not say that.
The whole thing about the fence.
He never said that. He never said
he's
going to
do that. He's talked about deporting.
He never said I'm going to deport everyone.
He may not have said everyone, but we don't even know how many people are here. So it's just it's totally unworkable. The whole thing with the fence and the wall and all this stuff, we're going to make it 10 feet higher, that shows a clear misunderstanding of the issue.
Can I do the 10 feet higher thing real quick? Right, let's take this, break this down. Are you, just leave Trump out of this, are you in favor of a wall on the southern border or not?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes or no? Okay, okay.
Yes.
When he is saying that 10 feet higher, he's not speaking as a politician. He's speaking as a businessman. He's telling them, I mean what I say. You can try to oppose
me,
just got 10 feet higher. It's a metaphor. It's not meant to be taken literally. He even said in the debate, which I agree with 100% about Rubio, with him on that Gang of Eight. I didn't think that we didn't have a control of the Senate. I didn't think that was a terrible bill. All things considered. He made a compromise, and he even complimented him on that. So he's going to make the compromise if unnecessary. Good.
But that's the thing. He talks a hard game, and then, you know, talks about, oh, I'm going to compromise when I get into office. So how do you know really where he stands? And that comes
because he's fighting. That has nothing to do with where it is he stands. He's telling you. You just said the things he says are not realistic. But he's telling you, I'm going to make it realistic. He's giving a hard position. I'm going to build this fence. You are going to pay for it. Period.
He's not backing off of that. You can say it's allegory. You can say whatever you want. Clearly, he's got a hard-line position. But you can have as hard of a position as you want. But it won't change the fact of that we have an illegal immigration problem that's not predicated just about people crossing our southern border where there's no fence.
No, how many Republicans have constantly said the first thing we have to do is secure our borders, and the main thing that the voters and the media for years.
But it's
they
not
never,
that simple.
They say that they're going to secure the borders, but they never actually do. This guy says, I'm going to secure them. I'm going to build a wall. This is how I'm going to build that wall. Finally, somebody's saying that.
Stops. I understand, but you have everybody on that stage saying the same thing. And that's where the conversation stops with Trump. He doesn't go any further. There's no nuanced policy positions about what you're going to do with
because
visas,
he's not.
What are you going to do about people who overstay them? That's
because
the problem.
He's not.
Most people who come to this country
are not I can give you a nuanced policy if you read his policy paper that he wrote on immigration shortly after getting into the race. If you go on the website, there's a whole two page plan about immigration. One of his campaign managers told me he's not going to give a hard policy. Speech in a debate when you get like a 30-second soundbite because nobody else does that anyway. So it comes back to the point.
Like,
if you
actually else does that. I mean, have you watched the debate? Everyone else does that. Everyone else talks about securing the border. They talk about all kinds of other policies that are.
They say the
same
thing. But he's actually right. Well, we'll get to healthcare in a second. But he's yes. They all say we need to secure the border, but he's actually saying I'm going to build. The only other person who I've ever heard who's running in a presidential election actually propose building a wall and how they're going to do it is Tom Tancredo, in 2008. That was the only other time I've ever heard it. They just say we have to secure the borders, but we have to look at this and we have to look at that. They all say the exact same thing, and they never do anything. And you know what? Him actually doing – and I told this to Brian. Him actually doing all the things that he says, he's never held office. We don't know. So it is a leap of faith, of course. But I'm certain that the other ones aren't going to do anything. I don't know if he is or not.
You're certain that Ted Cruz wouldn't build a wall?
Let me tell you something about Cruz. No, I guarantee you he wouldn't. Cruz, if you want a fraud, Ted Cruz is an absolute fraud, and we can get into the government shutdown because I know exactly why did he did that, and I'm going to get paid for 2 weeks. And that never would have got to Obama's desk. He knew that. Lindsey Graham said, you could shoot Ted Cruz on the Senate floor and nobody would get a conviction. He took we had the polling against Obamacare, and he completely reversed it by leading that shutdown for no reason whatsoever, and just to make a name for himself. That's
well,
it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with
Ted Cruz
you about
not
any
go
of that
wall.
Stuff. I don't really trust the guy either, but I'm saying I just don't know why you have so much faith in Trump and with all
it's
these.
Not,
things
I said I just said it is a leap of faith that he can actually accomplish
right.
this.
Isn't it the same way with everyone? Because you never truly know.
Of course. Exactly. But my point is...
So that's exactly what I'm saying. I'd rather
go with the guy who has more
policy ideas on how to fix this problem because here again, defense isn't the only thing.
But if you look into his policy, and he's probably getting help writing these things, which is why he doesn't say them on TV... But that's fine because you're going to appoint advisors anyway. So, but he actually has hard policy. If you go and read it, it's on. If you read his position, if you read his policy paper, he gives hard policy. He just doesn't say
it
on the
debate
because he doesn't have.
It's clear that he doesn't know his own policy.
It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter if he doesn't know the intricacies of his own policy. If somebody is advising him once he gets into office, what I am saying is you have tens of thousands of people. Going to rally, standing up for actually securing the borders. This is completely – you brought up Obama. It is reversed from 2008. He is actually galvanizing people into fighting back against this liberal, I guess, culture that has embedded this country the last 14 years. It is amazing. I text this to you. Just from the first time I voted, just the mindset of people now. Everybody and they call it that whole silent majority thing that he talks about. That's what I'm saying. He has inspired people to actually fight back against this. So if he does get elected, there's going to be more pressure on him to build that wall than anybody else because he made his whole campaign on building a wall. So he has to accomplish it. And if he doesn't, he's going to look like a jackass. If he does, he's going to be an American hero to like 50% of the country. And that's – so he has every incentive to actually do this. Him being able to do it is a leap of faith. But I know that the other ones can't because they just say the same stuff over and over.
Well, they might say the same stuff over and over, but they're espousing the same policy, and I don't know why you're so sure that they can't do it, yet Donald Trump can.
Because it's not in their best interest to. They don't care. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, it's not in Donald Trump's best interest either as a businessman.
He's not a businessman anymore. That's my point. It is now. It becomes his best interest.
He'll always be a businessman.
Well, no, he's not running companies to where he's getting cheap labor. He's not going to go into office and just not do all these things, or not attempt to do them. He might get overwhelmed and not be able to accomplish them. That's a whole other argument. But he's not going to do that because he's not going to make himself look stupid. He's going to at least try to do these. And when he talks about the wall, that's one thing I do believe him on. He's not just saying that. He didn't come out and have this real hardline immigration stance just to put on some kind of show and then somehow con his way to the presidency and then just sit there and do absolutely nothing to where 100% of the country would absolutely hate him instead of – why would you want to be the most hated man in the country and have people attacking you constantly if you don't actually believe in this?
He probably does actually believe in it. That's
okay.
My whole thing is his whole policy agenda on immigration, absolutely impossible. So
okay,
why would
what?
You vote for somebody when you can't? When you can vote for someone
because
who's basically saying
okay,
the same thing and actually can get it done?
Because it's not impossible to build a wall. It's not impossible to raise tariffs on Mexico.
Then why is he the only one who can do it then?
It's not impossible to do that. Nobody else has proposed it. They just say, yes, we have to secure the border. That's all they say. We have to secure the border. What exactly about the thing that he said is 100% impossible?
Mexico paying for it.
That's not impossible.
Okay, well, it's pie in the sky, though. I mean, come on.
It's not because Mexico is not going to hand you a check to build the wall. But
that's exactly what I'm
saying. He could easily. What's one of our biggest import export? He could easily raise tariffs on imports, which is what one of his guys explained to me.
Yeah,
if you go on the website and read it.
Economy.
I get it. It would hurt our economy, but he has, in his words, he has ways to alleviate that effect with other economic policies. So,
like
but
what?
But that's
this is
that,
what I'm talking
that's how
about,
you.
This is what I'm talking about. He goes out and
Christ.
He says stuff. He goes out and says stuff, which is pie in the sky that's never going to happen. That has all kinds of unintended consequences, and he has no policy ideas on how to back that up. And I guarantee you that if we build this huge, magnificent 100-foot wall, we're still going to have an illegal immigration problem because you're not
yes.
dealing with the visa overstays and the people coming from China
well,
and
it,
Asia.
It's one facet of the immigration problem. Yes, but what has all the politicians said?
His whole thing is to stop illegal immigration and murder our economy with tariffs. He says the same thing about China.
It's not going to. Okay, if you, every politician has said that about wanting to. To secure the border being the most important thing. Yes, that's one facet of the problem. You still have 11 million people to 15 million people that are already still here. And what you do with them is a whole other issue. But everybody agrees the first step is to secure the border. That's what everybody has been saying. So when he actually is taking a hard stance on it, and look, my whole thing with policy is I told you at the very beginning, it is a leap of faith on it. But my point is, he is actually – he's bringing this back to, like, where people are actually fighting for these kind of policies. And if he goes down
– at what cost?
If he goes down in the general election, at least he opened the door for another politician to come up and pick up where it is he left off on these
– Okay, well, in 8 years,
I'm not
our country is even more insane?
I, I, I'm not an economic expert to where I can say how much you could raise the tariffs on Mexico without destroying our economy, how much you could do it, how much you can't do it. I'm sure that there are people who could break that down and say exactly what you could do. I can't do that. But he's not going to murder our entire economy if he doesn't. And I'm sure that he has advisors who would advise him on how to alleviate the effect of raising tariffs that on our economy would have, just like any other presidential candidate would. Not everybody is an expert.
Things.
They're all getting briefed on these things. Everybody has advisors. It's not just him, but he doesn't speak canned responses. His lack of depth is because he doesn't give you those rehearsed answers. If all of them spoke like that, they would sound a lot more like Trump if they were actually speaking on what they actually knew, instead of somebody telling them exactly what to say. I am willing to take a leap of faith on a guy.
But you just said that Trump is the same thing. So I don't understand.
What? What do you mean?
You just said that Trump has policy people that write policy for him.
No, I'm talking about speaking, like when you act, like debating and speeches and stuff like that. He speaks. He doesn't have somebody telling him exactly what to say.
But if he has people preparing policies for him, like everyone else does, I don't understand why he gets up there and he talks about one point. Again, it comes back to marketing.
Yeah,
because
it's working. Obama won an election on saying hoping I change with a record turnout. It works. So why would you do anything else? If you can go online and just post your policy or just write a paper that's well thought out and you have people helping you with it, and you don't have to say it and it's working, why would you say it? I wouldn't.
No, I get it. You're right, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a good president or he's the best choice.
I didn't think he was the best choice. I'm simply saying at this point, two viable options. I know what I'm. I don't believe in anything that Cruz says. I think he comes off as a lawyer. He actually was a lawyer.
He sounds phony.
I think he's trying.
I get it.
He is phony. He's trying to make a name for himself. Period. I don't think he would be effective at governing at all. But I see a guy in Trump who is actually. We're running out of time. We can't get into every issue. Is speaking about the problem that we have with Muslims, is not afraid to say what the actual problem is. As other foreign policy stuff, I am not going to defend a lot of the stuff he says. I can't do that.
But again, all the other Republicans have said the same thing. They just stopped
they
short of killing
they don't
people's
say
families.
The same thing. Okay, I'm not talking about the killing of people's families, but the thing with torture.
But that's the thing. I mean, you can't just put that aside. You have to. You hear something like that. You have to wonder about the man's judgment. Who says
he did not? Okay,
like
he didn't. He didn't say he was going to. He was going to go and kill terrorist families. He said that they would know something. That they most likely would know something.
They should get killed too.
If we were talking in 2008 or 2009 in the dorm room, and we were talking about this, and I said. And I said, yeah, the families should probably know about that too. And we have to find a way to deal with them. Would you have disagreed with them?
To do away with them? Yeah, of course I would have disagreed with you.
No. To deal with them. But if you look past what he said, his point is, just because they weren't directly involved doesn't mean that they are not innocent. That they are innocent. Yeah, some of them.
So you don't know.
And that's the thing. He said in that speech, the APAC speech, he said the kids there, they see terrorists. They want to grow up to be terrorists. It's embedded in their culture. What's the first thing Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama said after this? Well, I watched two speeches. The first thing that they addressed after this attack in Brussels, let's not profile Muslims. That's your first thing that you address.
But we're not talking about profiling. What he said was that he's going to go after extremist families and kill them.
I don't care.
You're seriously telling me that you don't care if he goes around and uses the strength of our military and law enforcement to kill innocent people.
No, I would care if you use the strength and the strength for law enforcement military to kill innocent people. I would care. Yes.
Okay.
But if you could find out that they were innocent, then I would not care.
Okay, so suddenly if you have any link to terrorism at all, you deserve to die?
What's the link? What do you mean by a link? If
what's
you were actively abetting
it? Words matter.
Right, but not if you're aiding and abetting it, then yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, this is getting into
okay,
unrelated
so if you're,
situation.
We have to be realistic about this stuff, and you have to acknowledge when words matter. He's talking about killing innocent people. I don't understand how you get past that. I don't understand how you look at someone
he did
and
not
say,
say
that's
he,
the person
look,
I want representing
I,
our country.
I think we have an extremist problem now.
You know, the narrative on the left for years has been our presence in Iraq, our presence in Yemen, our presence in Afghanistan. That creates more terrorism. Well, with somebody in the White House like that who's saying we're just going to go kill whoever we
I really
think
don't believe that,
is a terrorist. No, I don't believe that narrative either, but I'm saying it's quickly going to become true if someone like Donald Trump goes and pursues those policies. Now, granted, I don't think
he would ever pursue that, but you have somebody out there running his mouth.
He can't represent
the country.
Right.
You're absolutely right about how he speaks on it. When you're not polished on those kind of things, it comes off very, very poorly.
It's not a matter of being polished.
I agree. I know, I absolutely agree. And I told you at the very top of the conversation, I can't defend some of the things that he says. Okay, this one, what he's trying to say is he's not saying I'm going to kill innocent people. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the families of a lot of terrorists actually aid in the terrorist acts, and they would be dealt with as well. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, and they should be prosecuted under the full extent of the law. But he's talking about taking action that is completely extracurricular than the law. And as soon as we make that step, then we're no longer a country, as he likes to say, because we're completely just out of control. We're completely not under the rule of law.
You can say he's not polished.
You can say he's just speaking like that for marketing, for effect.
I would like to have a whole other conversation on how to actually act against it. And now actually acting as these people, I think we need to get a little more out of control, because we sit here and we just allow all this stuff to happen, and we talk about profiling, and we talk about not all Muslims are bad,
and come on, Matt, you know me, I'm the first one to say that we need to unleash the full force of the U.S. military on these
which is why I understand your criticism of how he said it, that cannot be debated, but I am inspired by the fact he's actually willing to fight, or at least he says he's willing to fight against this group of people. I don't get that feeling from anybody
but
else.
But here again.
Because it's sunset.
Okay, Marco Rubio has said it a million times. Ted Cruz has said it a million times. John Kasich has said it a million times.
Cruz said the other day that we need to police Muslims better, or yesterday. That's a stupid-ass comment. No, Kasich has said it a million times. I love John Kasich. I'm not. I voted for John Kasich on Tuesday. I was at his speed. I was on TV. I'm not, as I told you at the very beginning, I'm not one of these people that have been a Trump supporter from the very beginning. I'm looking at him right now as a front runner.
But you are defending him through this conversation.
I am defending him to an extent. Yes. Right. No, I understand the criticisms, but we could take every candidate and criticize them on several different things. What I am saying about Trump is that I am as a Republican voter, when I go to vote in November, if he's the nominee, why I will have no problem voting for him as the nominee, and I hope you will vote for him over Hillary Clinton or Bernie or whoever. That he's going to get reeled back too. When he gets in office, he's going to get reeled back. He is constantly up on stage in front of millions of people. He's been a showman his entire life, and he just gets excited. I understand how this could happen. That's just his natural instinct. He's not going to run around the White House screaming all these different things. His whole day-to-day operations is going to be briefings and structure and people advising him constantly.
But here's
he's not
going to
be running
that,
around on a stage in front of 50 million people.
Here's the thing, though. I know we're running low on time, so I want to make sure that
we
get this in. Yeah, his whole thing, ever since day one, has been, yeah, I'm not a foreign policy guy. I know stuff about the economy, but not everything. I'm going to surround myself with great people. Well, look so far at the people he's surrounded himself with. That campaign manager of his is out of control.
The one that was standing on stage with him that you're talking about, I forget the guy's name.
I forget the guy's name, too, off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but there's been
I'm not going to defend, because I wasn't there, so I can't say exactly, okay, this is, he was right here, wrong here. But when that chick from Breitbart, you know, it was like the death of my father when they grabbed my arm. Please, they're doing this on purpose. Like, they sensationalize every bit of, yes, did they do these controversial things? Absolutely. It's completely exaggerated because they're trying to stop it from winning. I can't turn my back on that too. When he says something ridiculous, he says something ridiculous. The thing today with Cruz's wife is terrible. And that is a real problem. And I was like, and I wish I could be like, what the fuck are you doing? I would say that to him. I'm not defending everything that he does, but I'm saying these are the positives that he brings. I'm not as troubled by the whole. By the whole family thing as you, because I know exactly what he's trying to say. And it is, does he say it the best way? No, but how would we react in front of 50 million people when we don't have a lifetime of
the
politics?
The way you say things when you're president of the United States matter greatly.
Yeah,
I don't think he understands that.
Right. And then when he gave that speech on Monday that was written for him and prepared, his tone was a lot different. So that's
he sounded like every other Republican.
Right.
And I'm telling you, as soon as he does that, people are going to start not caring anymore.
He did, but no, but there's still going to be that Trump. I'm talking about this whole campaign, that he has excited people to fight for these issues again. And that's what I'm talking
but
about.
Matt,
is
he, at the same time,
okay,
though.
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. At the same time, though, yeah, he's excited people to talk more about immigration. Well, immigration already was a campaign issue long before he started talking about it. Now, was it as hot button as it is today? No, probably not. But that's because of the controversial things he said. And the second thing is you might get all these people excited, but he has a very strong ceiling. I mean, I don't know if he's ever won a state beyond 50%. Has he yet?
There's 17 people in the right. No, nobody has. I think Rubio won Puerto Rico by over 50%. But that's nobody has. But there was the poll that came out 2 days ago. Kasich supporters and Cruz supporters, the majority of both of them said Trump was their second choice. The reason why his ceiling is limited is because the. His own party is trying to destroy his candidacy. So
he's insane. I'm saying he's not resonating with the voters like you think.
I will tell you a conversation I had with one of his campaign managers off the air. About that. I was echoing a lot of your sentiments to him.
Yeah.
In a conversation that we had about this. But
I mean, you brought up the polls. The polls also show that he's going to get demolished by Clinton.
I don't think he's going to get demolished. He's down 9 points in March, and the campaign hasn't even started yet. We have no idea what's going to happen. Reagan was down 25 points.
Yeah, and everything that I'm going to say is going to that I've said tonight is going to come out of Clinton's mouth and all her thousands of surrogates.
Right, and the things he's going to say about her, we have no idea what's going to happen. We got 1 minute. We have no idea what's going to happen. All right, I
want
to wrap up this conversation right now.
Okay? You want Mr. Sexist, you know, talking about a war on women against Romney, they're going to have a field day with this guy.
And he's going to fight back. He'll actually fight back. The damage got done already. They already look at Republicans like that. So he'll actually fight back against it.
Romney had a defense. This guy doesn't have a defense. Romney had a defense.
Yes, he does.
Because he really wasn't running a war on women. This guy doesn't.
He's not either. He's employed more women than...
Okay, but... But
anybody else
said many, many more extremely sexist comments, regardless of who.
Okay, stop there. We have to. Yeah, and there's every female employee that has made a public appearance has always spoken out for him. So I've been the doubt on that. So I don't know.